Here we go. Write to us at MineEarthWatch.com. Text as well at 98973. I refuse to go inside, Tom. I'm outside still. It's about 37 degrees.
Oh, wow.
I'm wrapped in an electric blanket.
Well, unplug it. Be a man.
Time to get up. Guys, call. I sent a picture of my setup to Chris Martin yesterday, and he goes, it looks like you're about to get ready to judge a pie-eating contest, because it's a microphone on a wooden bench, and it looks very rural, and I do. I said, that's pretty good for Chris Martin, judging a pie-eating contest. Yeah.
It's on your porch, right? I think you sent a shot early on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I got it back out on the porch again. It looks great. The Climate Pledge Arena, also known as the Crack House, which I think that's the best name for it. Crack House, baby! should be ready on time. This, according to the people that are putting this arena together. The problem could be that when you get universal health care, like they have in Canada, you get pretty crappy care. And they're having trouble getting people... how else would you describe what's happening in Europe and Canada, Tom? Other than universal health care, universally failing the people of British Columbia and the number of people that are playing hockey that are getting COVID, and it's ripping through teams. And the story from the Seattle Times saying, oh, no, look at this. What's going to happen? If the arena is open, will we be able to have anybody play here because if COVID is still raging?
With the NHL,
surging, as they say.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So unlike the NFL or Major League Baseball, which does have a Canadian team, but I think it's playing in Florida, the NHL, at least a quarter of the teams, I think there's seven teams that are from Canada. And so the season is going on right now, and only Canadian teams are only playing among themselves. And then the south of the Canadian border, the American teams, play themselves. And even going into two rounds of playoffs, the Canadians are going to stay among themselves because Canada is taking it much more seriously than the United States in terms of lockdowns. They also are behind in the vaccinations, so they are fighting. They're having problems as the season progresses even. The NHL is more concerned right now about getting through there's a 56-game schedule for this particular season. They're more concerned about getting through that season because there are a couple of teams that are already not available to play because of COVID outbreaks. And apparently in Vancouver, they've got, I think it's the Brazilian variant, which is more problematic. All these things are to say that even if Seattle Kraken are ready to go when they're saying they're ready to go, sometime in the last 2 weeks of September or the first 2 weeks of October, they'll be ready to go. They're not even sure, because the NHL isn't sure when their season's actually going to start. So, it's a good news, bad news. The good news for us, for the people putting together the Kraken, what used to be Key Arena, is that if we aren't ready until the second week of October, that's usually after the season starts. The season usually starts between the 3rd and the 10th or the 12th or something. That could be a problem. But now they have such bigger concerns that it sounds like everything will be hunky-dory for us, even if we are slightly delayed for that to happen. So there's still a lot of excitement. There's reason to be excited.
We're a long way out, right? They're getting vaccinated there. No, but just the same. But yeah. October 15th to have the... To be, I think that's the date when, as a season ticket holder, I should know.
Yeah, but they haven't given you the opening date. All they're saying is that it's going to be sometime ready between the end of September and the first half of October. But they're still waiting because the NHL has to get through this season before they start, scheduling next season. Because we might start next season and realize we can't play the Vancouver Canucks because they're in Canada. If there's still an outbreak going on, if they're still problematic, the Canadian government is much stricter. They will not allow Americans to come and go up there. Right. If they are maintaining that strict composure, we might not even be able to play our natural rival. So,
right. But again,
it's still 6 months off.
October. All right. Let's see. It was a Joe Biden who told us that the new laws in Georgia are for voting is Jim Crow on steroids. And they're still sticking with that even after the Washington Post gives them the four Pinocchios. And then I guess he was asked about the Masters because they were able to get the Major League Baseball to pull out and go to Colorado and set up in Colorado and do the game there, thus hurting all of the local people that could have benefited from having Major League Baseball have the All-Star game in Atlanta. And then they asked Joe, hey, what about, Mr. President, what about the Masters? Now, the Masters have to be played there at Augusta because that's where the Masters are played, because the course is always Augusta, and that's where they always do it. He was somewhat different. He had a different sort of take on it. It seemed fairly inconsistent. If it's terrible and Major League Baseball should think twice about Georgia, why not the
Masters golf tournament should be moved out of Georgia?
I think that's up to the Masters. Look, you know, it is reassuring to see that for-profit operations and businesses are speaking up about how these new Jim Crow laws are just antithetical to who we are. There's another side to it, too. The other side to it, too, is when they, in fact, move out of Georgia, the people who need the help the most, people who are making hourly wages, sometimes get hurt the most. I think it's a very tough decision for a corporation to make or group to make. But I respect them when they make that judgment, and I support whatever judgment they make. But it's the best way to deal with this is for Georgia and other states to smarten up. Stop it. Stop it. It's about giving people two votes.
Yeah. Okay. This is it seemed a little inconsistent.
I think
this is him last
today's
week.
Professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly.
This is about
MLB. I would strongly support them doing that.
Yeah.
People look.
Strongly support them doing that. Strongly support Major League Baseball not having the All-Star
pulling
game
out.
They're leaders. Yeah. Look at what's happened with the NBA as well. Look at what's happened across the board. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
He was much of a student when he went to law school. He knows what Jim Crow is, right? He knows what those laws were, right?
Yes.
And do you think it's a bit of an exaggeration on the part of the president, Tom?
I've said that.
Those terms? And this is, to me, it's like Donald Trump and the crazy stuff he was saying. It's absurd to make the connection between the two, but he just won't let it go. And then he puts Jim Crow on steroids.
Yes.
But anyway,
we've already gotten that.
There's a difference between the Major League Baseball and golf. I guess, or does he realize it hurts a lot of local people by asking stuff to move out?
Well, no, but that's what he was acknowledging, and that's what I think is interesting for him to say, there is the other side. Remember, Stacey Abrams, who is as much against what Georgia legislatures just did, she was against them pulling out because she thinks boycotts are going to hurt the very people that could benefit from it that she wants to represent. So... There was a split among that, you know, boycott or no. What is it? Can you send a message without actually having the economic impact hurt the very people you're trying to, uphold? And that's what he was acknowledging. Yeah. And it is. So there's this fascinating article. I was wondering what the difference is that between golf and baseball. And they mention that golf already kind of leans Republican, which I think is interesting with the country club component of golf clubs of golf associations and the country club Republican that we were talking about yesterday, who is like, you know, seen as sort of not the populist Republican. He's more the country club Republican. That the players so far, none of the players have, you know, sort of held up their fist and says, no, we should protest this. Unlike the MLB players who did, the Players Association took a stand on that. So there's a difference between the golfers and the baseball players that, you know, is being acknowledged. Also, the All-Star game is a rotating game. It goes to every major league city there is. The weird thing about the Masters is, unlike, you know, PGA Championship can be played anywhere, that it's always connected to Augusta. It's that, it's the golf course
in Augusta. Yeah.
In Augusta. And even the mayor of Augusta is a very strong, Democrat who opposes the legislation that just got passed. But she says, yes, but this is Augusta. This is our home base, and it's going to help people in Augusta. So even though she objects, like the MLB objected to what the Georgia legislators did, she does not support this idea of boycott, which goes along with most of the Democrats in Georgia. They say, don't do it that way.
Well, I guess the president realized after he said the MLB should move out, and then when someone said, hey, it's going to hurt all of these people that sell stuff and do parking and they're the vendors and the T-shirts, and then he must have realized, I see now that when the baseball is not there, the people that I pretend to care about that will be hurt. So the same thing with Augusta, same thing with the Masters. So he then changes on the Masters. Do you think anything suspicious about the fact that Tiger Woods was driving so fast when he hit that tree or whatever?
The primary causal factor for this traffic collision was driving at a speed unsafe for the road conditions and the inability to negotiate the curve of the roadway. Estimated speeds at the first area of impact were 84 to 87 miles per hour. And the final estimated speed when the vehicle struck the tree was 75 miles per hour. There were no citations issued, and there are no signs of impairment.
Were there skid marks when he hit before the tree?
The event data recorder showed speeds ranged from 82.02 miles per hour to 86.99 miles per hour and back down to 68.35 miles per hour. A second reading of this event data recorder is the acceleration pedal percentage, which is the pressure applied to the accelerator pedal during the collision. This measurement was at 99% at the area of impact, at all the area of impacts of the collision. The data recorder also recorded braking. There was no evidence of braking throughout this collision. It is speculated and believed that Tiger Woods inadvertently hit the accelerator instead of the brake pedal, causing that 99% rating on the accelerator pedal.
Okay, so
or
not the fact that he is, and where everyone's just accepting,
not or not, Tom, he's hitting the gas instead of the brake. Isn't that a mistake normally made for people that are in their 80s and 90s?
Well, yes, I'll defer to you on driving expertise, but yes. What, right? Because he was not, he wasn't drinking. He's had two other, driving incidents. And in both cases, he was not drinking in either of them. So we can rule that out. On one of them, he claimed in the past that it was a combination of these new drugs that he was taking for, you know, his back and all, like pain pills kinds of stuff. So that was a possibility. But in this case, they ruled both those out. If he was clean as a whistle, you could easily make this, look like a suicide case, or it could be. Like, nobody is driving that fast on that dangerous a road who is and is not impaired by any other means. It could be suicidal. Now, especially if your foot is on the gas pedal. However, if it was a mistake, which it depends on how generous you want to be in your interpretation. If it was a mistake, well, that would make sense then. He's thinking he's pushing his foot on the brake as hard as he can, and it turns out it's the gas pedal. But why someone would be that disoriented if he wasn't drunk or high?
Why didn't they take
a lot
the
of
blood?
Experts who claimed or drug recognition people said, oh, they should have drawn blood or done this or done that. And without the signs of impairment, we don't get to the point where we can actually author a search warrant and develop the probable cause to get that and execute that search warrant. So that did not happen, and that is not preferential treatment that would occur in any collision of this type based on these circumstances. And past history does not get you the elements you need to establish a probable cause. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so stop asking, Tom. Stop it.
That's unbelievable. There are no signs of impairment. What do you mean? He just drove his car, hit a tree and then, sort of went airborne for 75 feet from where
impaired. Not, so then they look at his eyes, bloodshot eyes. He's slurring this and that. He was able to walk. I think he was still walking or whatever. But they don't look for those signs. If there's no signs, then there's no probable cause, so then you can't sort of further investigate. Well, it's the same thing as going into somebody's house, going into somebody's car, going into somebody's bloodstream. So he ends up, he did okay, said, go ahead, you can release the public data as to how fast the car
was
going.
Yes, no, I know. That we have to point out. It was infuriating two or three days ago when LA said, yeah, we've done our study, we know what happened, but we're not going to tell you. What do you mean? Well, you know, privacy issues. Well, Tiger Woods did the honorable thing, I think, and released it, so now we know. I don't know enough about his personal life, nor does anybody else, to know if he could be suicidal. There's nothing about his life right now that makes him seem that would be the case. So how else are you going to explain it? I don't know.
Sad.
Are you leaning that way?
No, I don't know. I mean, you're really, when you say that about somebody, you're going into a whole dark area.
Yeah.
No, I've watched, my son and I were watching him play a couple of months ago, or 6 months ago. God, it just was just falling apart, not making the cut, and just.
Yeah.
You know, he's had back operations, he's worked on his swing and this and that, and then still young, and where he was in his career, and then where he is now, and when the mighty fall so publicly, it just, it's, I don't know if you've ever watched him play recently, it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
But he won the Masters a couple of years ago, you know, so he did have his big comeback. That was the only one, but yeah. But now that his son is playing, I mean, he has all these things to play for, so, you know, or to, you know. Anyway.
Okay. We're going to do the grant. He pulled a grandpa. Foot on the gas instead of the brake.
Okay.
Go full grandpa. All right. Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us. People knowing which one left is the fast and the left. Comes biggest and best in the Northwest. She is the Muckleshoot Casino of the Tom and Curly Show. You don't gamble when it comes to Rachel Bell being on your show because it's always a straight flush.
That song made me feel like I was walking down a red carpet in a gold sequin gown, and I'm not even kidding. I was prancing and frolicking my chair.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Do it again then. Sure. I'll stop this one. Hold on. I'm going to stop that.
Can you hear it?
I can't.
Can you hear my elbows hitting the rest of my body?
Here she comes.
I'm waving like I'm in a parade.
And there's Rachel
I'm walking in high heels.
She's dressed in a... That is a... What are you wearing, Rachel? I'm sorry. What are you wearing?
It's
Rachel,
burlap.
Who are you wearing?
Burlap.
I think it's Ziploc. Maybe? Yeah, I'm wearing
who
a Ziploc dress.
Christian burlap.
Yes, exactly.
Will the mask eventually become more than just fashion? Will it actually have high tech sort of things that allow us to live our life with a third of our face covered?
Well, that is the hope of Will I Am. He's a rapper. He used to be in the Black Eyed Peas. He's also an entrepreneur, and he helped found Beats Electronics in 2006. I say all of this to say that he has been in the technology game for a while. So just on his own, he had designed this kind of high-tech mask, and he was connected with Honeywell, which is the company that's responsible for making millions of N95 face masks over the last year. So they developed the first smart mask, which is apparently a new category in masks. It's called Zuper Mask, but it starts with an X. Zuper Mask. It covers half of your face, but it does cover your nose in this way that your glasses will never fog up again. So the thing that makes it smart is that not only is it a mask that has a Honeywell filtration system that is not medical quality but is supposed to filter some things out. It has noise canceling headphones, LED lights for night, a rechargeable battery, and Bluetooth capabilities. So you can play music, you can take calls, and this article says you will look like a sci-fi rhino warrior. So it costs $300, which sounds expensive for a mask, but they say that's the average price for noise canceling headphones, which is what it doubles as. And the person who designed it His name is Jose Fernandez, and he's a Hollywood costume designer. So he created the SpaceX suits for Elon Musk. He worked on Black Panther, The Avengers, and X-Men 2. So that kind of gives you an idea of the look of this mask. So Will.i.am said, quote, "We are living in sci-fi times. Is the pandemic is straight out of a friggin' movie, but we are wearing masks from yesterday's movie. I wanted to wear a mask to fit the era that we are in." So the question is, you know, he's releasing this at not a great time. You know, people are starting to get vaccinated, and those who are not getting vaccinated are not exactly mask people. Will people still want to wear masks? He says SARS happened in Japan and Southeast Asia, and they got over it, and they still wear masks. And so he says that he thinks that people will want to wear them just so they don't get colds and flus, and they'll feel safer on an airplane.
So this isn't just a fashion statement, though. It's not that. I mean, I've seen some gorgeous masks that match. Usually they're women that have their, you know, their entire look is matched with their mask. Yeah. And it's this great effect. But he's not talking about that. He thinks that these masks are actually designed to do medical help, maybe not save you from COVID if COVID becomes a thing of the past, but just in general, that people would be wearing them not to look cool, but to actually prevent them from getting sick. Is that right?
Yes. Well, I think that's the base of it. And then the idea is people might be more willing to wear it if, A, they think it looks cool. But more than that, you know, when you have your mask on, it's hard to talk on the phone. You have to pull it down. You have to pull it up. So it just sounds like a more functional version for tech people who like techie stuff. You know, like if you could wear your mask, but you can listen to music through it, so you don't have to, like, you know, thread your headphones around the straps of the mask. It just sounds like it's an all-in-one for people who are into that kind of thing.
I
wonder if he's missed it. I wonder if he's missed it in that they come out with the technology, and do people, the biggest drawback I find is the complete lack of ability to communicate.
Yeah.
You put that mask on and you are missing hundreds of thousands of teeny tiny indicators to you as to the person you're speaking to and whether they're hearing you and how they're receiving what you're saying. It's gone.
Same with Botox, right?
no, not really.
I mean, I can't even tell how a person's feeling anymore.
Yeah, right, because if you get the top of the face Botox and then you get the mask on, right, you don't know what the person's
saying.
And then
you have to say things like, "I am very angry right now."
Yeah, well, the mask that he has on, Tom, have you seen a picture? It is sci-fi.
Yes.
I mean, you are...
No, it looks like something out of Star
really
Wars.
Committed. Yes,
I know.
Yes.
And the thing is, I can see that being kind of a cool fashion look, but it doesn't seem very functional. I get the idea. Wow, that's great. You can hear your own music. But yeah, if you're going to communicate, unless they've got like a voice box that makes you sound like Darth Vader or something, it just feels like not very functional.
That's a great point. They could have easily added that, and that would have solved the one problem. Yeah, or they could have made, like, you know, those weird clear ones so people could see your facial expression.
I referred to people that were wearing masks, double masks, walking around the streets of Seattle yesterday as moron. Their behavior is moronic. And I thought about it later on, since so many people took me to task with the emails and text messages. It's like this.
Keep them coming.
when you are stopped at the intersection and the lights says don't walk and there are no cars coming, do both of you stand there on the street corner and wait?
No. I'm from California. We jaywalk.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom?
Because...
Yeah, I mean, more often than not, you know, I mean, if it's in the middle of the night
there?
Or something. Yeah, I'll probably wait. It's convenient.
Okay.
Not all the time. I'd say maybe 65, 75% of the time, I'd probably wait it out.
Okay, John, go ahead and make your metaphor here.
The metaphor is that, to me, the inconvenience of wearing the mask or the inconvenience of waiting for the light... I would refer to anybody standing and waiting at the intersection and looking at the little stop-go part, and there are no cars coming, that's moronic behavior. Mm-hmm. You obviously have nowhere to be, that you're standing there and you're waiting for the light to tell you it's okay to cross. It's moronic behavior.
No, you're not in a hurry.
The light is telling you, hold on, this is an intersection, and you look, and there's no cars, and people are just, there's no cars coming, but you're going to stand there and wait.
Let me tell you a little story.
The difference between that But the difference between that and the masks is that there is very low risk if no cars are coming when you cross, where there is a risk right now of being close to people and not wearing a mask. So I don't think they're comparable.
Outside?
Personally.
Outside? Outside? The wind? Outside.
Well, outside if you're, you know, at the farmer's market and you're around a ton of people, yeah, I'll wear
it. Now, maybe I would cross the street against the advice of the light if I was surrounded by a bunch of people that weren't wearing masks. Good point, John.
Ah! Good one, Tom. Good one. Yes, there you go. You're recording. But you've been double vaccinated, but that doesn't mean anything either. All right, Art Bell, I can't. My little computer thingamajigger, by the way, Jacob, anybody that cares about my little computer thing? Not working. Well, I can't. Thank you, Jacob. Jacob went to a Monday wedding. We'll have to talk about that some other time. All right, let's check in with Tracy Taylor. Rocky's Auto Service Center. They've got 16 locations. Why not pack the kids in the car? If the car's running right or not running right, just visit all the Bucky's Auto Service Centers this summer. There's something fun to do. Celebrating 51 years. Run in there and say, nothing wrong with the car. I just wanted to say hi. And then you're off to the next one. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Just call me Mr. Fun. There's something about it where you just trust these machines, and especially if it's a cute little robot. I don't know how tall the robot is, but Jacob would love to do something.
3 foot
robot.
Nine.
The thing's
like 3 foot nine.
Yeah, he's like all white, giant eyes. He looks caring. Doesn't have eyebrows, which really sets him apart from everybody else. And the robot gives advice to kids that are pumping up a balloon on this computer. And I think at a certain point when they go over a certain amount of pumps, the robot says, you know, like, you're doing great. You know, give it, pump it again. Do the kids trust the robot, Tom, or do they trust their own sort of knowledge?
Well, as you might expect, kids, if they're so the experiment is, you pump this air pump and it blows up the balloon, and it's like, how many times can you pump it without it blowing up? And when they have a robot who's telling them, oh, you know, you could, I think you're good for one more pump. I think you can good for one more pump. The kids in general, and it's not all of them, but in general, they say, yeah, you're probably right. And they go ahead and do it again. And then as the robot continues to encourage them, they continue to do it. That makes some sense. I suppose if you're in a room and you're trying to estimate and you've got another voice, you don't know where that voice comes from except that it's from a robot. You figure, well, yeah, maybe they know more than I do, or it's just a second. I'll go ahead and take the risk.
Yeah.
So this is just establishes, this doesn't seem very groundbreaking at this point, that a robot can influence people to take greater risks. Now, here's the most... Here's the interesting thing about this experiment, though. So when they when they go too far and it blows up, you know, the robot's very, well, you know, we'll get it right the next time, or don't worry, you know, we got lots of balloons. They're still encouraging. The kids who blew up the balloon on the advice of the robot, when they go back and do it again, they do not adjust the number of pumps. They keep doing it. Whereas the students that didn't have the advice of the robot but ended up blowing up the balloon take it upon themselves to not do it, not pump it as many times because they're trying to adjust so they don't use it. Whereas the kids that are relying on the robot stay relying on the robot and keep blowing up the darn balloon.
Right, because as they know at that point, it's the robot and themselves that are at fault if the balloon breaks. Before, if you don't take the robot's advice, you're pretty much on your own on it. But then you can blame it on the robot. Hey, look, he told me keep pumping that thing over there. That guy right there without any real arms.
It's
he told
Pepper's
me to keep
fault.
Going. So you're. Yeah, Pepper's the name
Pepper.
Of the robot.
Yeah.
People do trust them, and I guess a robot, you're assuming, is programmed to have great knowledge, and if the robot, like, for instance, the robot told me something, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, I'm with you, robot.
What if a
Seriously,
robot told
Tom,
you to
how
vote
we,
for
you know
the
what,
Democrat?
Siri or some other, I got to get a new robot. No, if you say the name, blah, blah, blah. I won't say it because people's things are. How old is Hank Aaron? Hank Aaron was 83 years old. And you're like, oh, okay, Hank Aaron's 83. We just trust the thing coming out of any one of those smart speakers.
By the way, they're not just dangerous. They can be helpful. They may be encouraging you to do the right thing, you know, too. So they say, it's just that we are influenced by a second voice, even if it comes from the robot. That's the point. And I think most of us could agree that's probably the case. Sometimes to our detriment.
Okay. Jacob wanted to do things to the robot. Jacob, still fascinated by robots, Jacob?
Yeah. I think we should get robots next to crosswalks to encourage people to go when there's no cars around.
Yes, right. Encouraging them. I don't understand why people do that. Stop at that walk. I go right through. And then they look at you like, what are you doing? How dare you not pay attention to the machine?
You know, I actually got stopped by, I got a ticket from a cop because I was walking, you know, crossing the street without, you know, official permission because all the cars had already passed and there was a red light on the other end. I crossed the street and a motorcycle cop pulled me over and gave me a ticket. I mean, it's things like that can happen.
Maybe he recognized you from the show, Tom.
Yeah. No. This is when I was Tom. Working at the theater. I know the name of the cop, and I'm specifically not saying his name on the air.
John Bernasconi?
How'd you guess?
Tracy?